This is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Good morning. In this chaotic political year, no matter which party you favor or which candidate you support, it's quite possible you agree on one thing with people you might otherwise find objectionable. The media is failing in its coverage of the 2016 election. At VPR, we've been getting a slew of email and messages from people who believe either A, there's been too much coverage of Donald Trump, B, there hasn't been enough coverage of Bernie Sanders, C, what coverage there is of Sanders is slanted negatively to favor Hillary Clinton, D, VPR is in the bag for Sanders because he's from Vermont and is liberal, or E, some variation on all of the above. A lot of negative mail has also come our way regarding NPR's national coverage of the candidates, and so today we're speaking with David Folkenflik, NPR's media correspondent and author of the book Murdoch's World, The Last of the Old Media Empires. David Folkenflik, thank you so much for speaking with us.
What a pleasure to join you.
I want to start by reading just a few snippets of some angry emails we've had at VPR recently. I know, you're looking forward to this. Here's one. I am so sick of the fact that you have become just like the rest of the media, covering the election as though Hillary Clinton is the only Democratic candidate to mention. Here's another. All comparisons with the Republican side are made with only Clinton when, in fact, national polls are showing Sanders doing better with women and better against Trump. But most people don't know this because the media has gotten behind this one candidate declaration. Now, there's more, but the general idea seems to be that NPR is giving Sanders a bit of a brush off. Have you been seeing similar mail from listeners directly regarding NPR's coverage of Bernie Sanders?
I haven't. And I want to start by not only thanking you for the opportunity to talk, but also by differentiating my role. So I'm the media correspondent for NPR, and I'm paid by the network and happy to accept its money. But that said, I don't speak for the network. I critique the media writ large, and sometimes I critique NPR too. So let's look a little bit. Bernie Sanders has been interviewed three times in the course of this presidential campaign on NPR. Hillary Clinton's only come on once. I would say NPR, as with a lot of major outlets, initially saw Bernie Sanders very much as a long shot. People looked at Hillary Clinton's acquisition of money up front, her almost blanket name recognition throughout the country, the familiarity with her over decades-long presence in public life. People looked at that and said, well, that's formidable. They looked at that and said, gosh, this guy Sanders, he's from a small population state, very much on the left of the Democratic caucus in Congress. This guy isn't going to go anywhere. And in the early outset, the press tended to minimize what his potential could be. I think over time, people have reported on the surge of support that he's gotten from voters. There's the small donations and also just the boisterous, enthusiastic crowds. But let's be clear. Right now, even with all the support and all the votes and all the donations that Bernie Sanders has gotten in recent months, it still seems very strongly, perhaps not prohibitively, but very strongly in Hillary Clinton's favor to secure this nomination.
One of the things I think people were reacting to was interviews with some of NPR's political correspondents. Early on in the campaign, Mara Liasson said something about Hillary Clinton is essentially running against herself. People took that to mean that, oh, Bernie Sanders is not even a factor. And there was a lot of criticism that came in from that. Do you think the way that Bernie is talked about by some of the political correspondents on NPR or other media outlets is part of what's generating some of this negative reaction from listeners?
Sure. Mara's very sharp. I mean, I don't want to speak for her, but what I took from that when she said that, it wasn't language to diminish Sanders, but she was suggesting, whether or not you agree with it, that in a sense that the vote, at least early on, was a referendum on Hillary Clinton herself, and therefore a vote for a candidate not being Hillary Clinton was a vote against her, not a vote as much for Bernie Sanders. And she may have been wrong about that, but I don't think she was saying that Bernie Sanders was nothing, but just that, you know, Hillary Clinton was such a known figure that for many people, they would vote for her and many people would vote against her as opposed to for the other candidates. Now, I think that time has borne that out not to be the case. I think there are people who are genuinely deeply excited about Bernie Sanders, and I think that the campaign has shown that. I also think these things are not static. That is, what might have been true in June might be a little different now.
What about this idea that Hillary Clinton has this big lead in delegates, and she certainly has won more states and bigger states than Bernie Sanders has to this point, but a lot of people have been upset saying that when they hear commentators or political analysts talking about that lead, that they're including automatically and not mentioning the superdelegates, who, of course, can pledge to whomever they want come the convention, and that if you take away that superdelegate factor, that her lead over Bernie Sanders isn't quite that large.
You know, there's truth to this. You could argue that we should be reporting on only the delegates and not who wins this state or that, because many of the states are not winner-take-all. All of that said, really what you're talking about are people arguing for their own side. I've seen Clinton supporters do this in one way when things go cut one way. I've seen Sanders supporters do it when they cut another way. And I've seen this race after race, cycle after cycle. Essentially, you call it working the refs. Oh my gosh, you're not calling offsides. How can you know, in a football game, you say that to a ref long enough, suddenly the ref is really looking at offsides. But Hillary Clinton is clearly getting the lion's share of the coverage, but not exclusively. And I think the press has struggled with Sanders because he's an unconventional figure.
We made it this far into the interview without getting to Donald Trump, but there it is. The Donald Trump phenomenon, we do get a lot of mail saying, you, the media, you've created this guy. You keep giving him the attention, and that's why he's become this, in some ways, unstoppable behemoth that some people think he is. Has the media given too much attention to Donald Trump?
You know, I quarrel less with the amount of attention, although it is just galactically disproportionate to Trump and for any other candidate in the race. And there was one study showing that he had gotten more coverage on the major broadcast evening networks than all of the other political candidates combined for the first 3 months of this year. That's extraordinary. On the other hand, he's clearly the most newsworthy. He knows how to make news. He knows how to own it. He does things outside of the news cycle on social media. He creates controversies that just completely undermine the ability of other candidates to get their footing. I think Marco Rubio in particular suffered from this.
But CNN, and I'm sure you're aware of this, recently elected to broadcast an empty podium on a stage where Donald Trump was going to speak, and they kept it there for quite some time, rather than covering a speech that Bernie Sanders was actually making at the same time. I'm not sure that that's a defensible thing, is it?
I sure wouldn't defend it. The way it's defensible is by virtue of the fact that I think that CNN is going to enjoy a real surge in profits.
But you can see how people would become cynical then about the media and say, look, yeah, we see what you're doing. This is great for your bottom line, but it's not great for our democracy. It's not great for an informed public.
I have all kinds of problems with the way in which this has played out. I think that the media has helped to enable him by these live, long, lingering shots of just him talking at will and taking him by cell phone on an almost daily basis. In some ways, it's great that he's making himself available to the press. In other ways, he simply talks over the press. He doesn't really listen to the questions. He doesn't certainly barely answers them. If you're going to treat him seriously, you need to cover the question of how workers were treated on his projects, the question of those four bankruptcies, which he dismisses as, hey, just, that's the way business is done. I want to really understand the details, how he took advantage of the law, what he was doing, what that reflected about his business judgment, what that reflected about his willingness to let people he owed money to walk away with, you know, dimes on the dollar, if that. All of these things, because you know what? This guy's never been elected anything. So we don't have that record to vet.
David Folkenflik is NPR's media correspondent and author of the book Murdoch's World, The Last of the Old Media Empires. It's been such a pleasure to speak with you, David. Thank you.
You bet.